God is good. And all the time. We also know that God has called each and every one of us to three commands through His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And those commands are love God, love others, and go. And in them, all of the Scripture is combined. In them, the fulfillment of all things shall come as God has designed it through the church, unto the day when Jesus Himself reestablishes all that was from the beginning. And in that day, we will rejoice with Him. Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. Glad you're here with us. Get ready to hear the Word of the Lord. As we continue in our sermon series, The Power of the Resurrection, we are looking at living in love. So today, we are going to continue in this series, and it's going to end next week, because next week is what? What is next Sunday? It's Pentecost. And we are looking at the resurrection unto the day when the power of the resurrection was finally poured out upon the church. And we're going to call upon that very reality. So today, if you would, taking your scriptures in hand, I'm standing here talking. I wanted to get my scriptures or my sermon out, and I didn't. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John, we're going to be in chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. We're going to be looking at 4 verses 7 through 21. As we come in to understand, I want us to know as we come in to live this power of the resurrection, we need to understand that love is not what the world calls love. What the world calls love is perversion in many cases. But we need to understand God's love is whole, it is holy, it is good. And God's love comes from God, for God is love. Can I get an amen, church? So let us look at the very Word of God that He has given to us from verse 7 in chapter 4 of the gospel, or the book of 1 John. From verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I repeated that twice. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He gave us of His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected within us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Brothers and sisters, this reaffirms what we started with. We are told to what? Love God, love others, and go. That is the power of the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, we have a worldly love, and it's a self-love. That's what we see our world dealing out. It is a self-love. It is a lusting after the desires of the flesh. But in the love of God, we have a love that goes beyond ourselves, from the lust that wants to take to the point of giving, just as Jesus Christ gave of himself for others to know the hope of the glory. For that is his gospel, that Jesus Christ came for what reason? To die on the cross of Calvary. He did not come to do anything else. He came to die that we would have a way to heaven, because the wrath of God had to be satisfied. None of us could do anything to get there. He is our propitiation, as was read to us. Big word, small concept, payment. He paid the price we could never pay. And when we look upon those words, when we hope upon that, we see that God truly is love, because we know there is no way for any of us to have achieved heaven. How many of you have achieved heaven? Yeah, right. None of us are there yet, are we? We still got a ways to go. And we need to understand and allow that love to permeate us and change us from what was to what is yet coming. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, because now we can love outside of self-love. We can love as God loves, unconditionally. What does that mean? That means no strings attached. You love simply because you want to give of yourself as Christ gave to you. And in that, we have no idea if we're going to see anything come back. Husbands, do you love your wife hoping that she loves you back, or do you love your wife regardless? Wives, do you love your husbands in that same manner? Or do we put stipulations on it and play tit for tat, where you do this and I'll do that? Remember, love in a marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. When you come at it 50-50, what are you doing? You're butting heads the whole time. But when you come at it as 100%, 100%, you cover each other. And then remember what the scripture says, a strand of three is not easily broken. And then Jesus, through the Father, wraps it all together, and it can't be broken, because he is the perfection of love, and he ties it together. We need to understand the love that we're speaking of here, from the possibility of coming back into right relationship, is something that God wanted. He knew this was coming since the beginning of time. He prepared Jesus before the foundations of the world that he would come back at a point to restore us all, if we so choose. The power of the resurrection is a great and awesome power, that when you and I allow that love to permeate us, it changes us through and through. That we can love the unlovable. How many of you out there know somebody that's unlovable? Yeah, you can raise your hand on that. That's okay. Because I'll guarantee you, I was. And it was only through the love of God coming after me. Because remember what it says. We didn't love God. We didn't seek out God. God sought us out. And when we finally acknowledged him, now all of a sudden we can love him back. We can reckon with him, and we can see that love. How many of you can see the love of God in your life now? Where before, I mean, I think about my life, and I think about the things that I did prior to Christ in my life, the ways that I was trying to fill it, the ways that I was trying to make myself feel good. Notice I said feel, okay? Because love is often equated with a feeling. But God showed me it's much more than a feeling. It's a reality that is here every day. It's not a feeling. It's substantial. Feelings are not substantial. They are waning. Feelings change at the moment of something else happening. But when the love of God comes into your life, you have worth that doesn't go away, because God does not forsake his own. Can I get an amen, church? Because when he receives us to him, he completely seals us in him, because the power of love is the Spirit of God. Did we read that? Yes, we did. The Spirit of God resides in us. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the depositor. That is the guarantor. Because God is right here. The God of the universe that cannot contain him chooses to be contained in your heart. And not just yours, but mine and every other Christian that will love him. Now, does that mean you just have a small bit of God? No, you have all of God in you. You've got to realize he is not the same as we are. One little portion of God equates all of God, because that little portion of him is completely and totally powerful and can change everything. How many of us have been changed by that love? Yeah. I had a conversation just yesterday, last evening, and that conversation ran from 1:30 in the morning, or excuse me, from 12:30 in the morning until 3 o'clock in the morning. And a young man was saying to me, "But I just don't understand. Why does God bring all this stuff into my life?" And I had to explain to him the love of God, that it's not God bringing this stuff into your life. God's there to help you get through it. And he kept coming around to this. He wanted to blame God for all these things that were going on in his life. And I said, "You do realize," I said, that is actually Satan talking to you. Satan wants you to blame God for sin in your life and sin in our world. God didn't bring it. Who did? Folks, we want to blame that on Satan, don't we? Yeah, he lied, but who received it? We did. Who continues to receive it? We do. The Apostle Paul said, "The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, they're the things that I do." And God says, "My love is here, that you don't have to deal with that anymore, but you have to walk in my love all the time in order for that not to have effect on you." How many of us know that when we're in the presence of someone that we love, we just can't do anything wrong, at least not on purpose? You know, I think about that often. You know, I got home last night. I was tired. In 2 days, I got about 5.5 hours of sleep. Because, yes, I went to bed at 3 o'clock, and I was back up at 6 to make breakfast for the guys at camp. Because that's my job. I'm the cook. And I'm the preacher. So you know I don't get any sleep. Because I feed them every way I can. But when I got home, I was tired, I was grumpy, and I was growling at my wife. I said, "Don't want to do this." I said to the Lord on the way home, "Lord, I love her too much. I don't want to growl at her." I said, "Stop asking me questions." Because every time my brain had to think, all I wanted to think about was bed. Get some sleep. You've got church in the morning. You need to be regenerated so you can preach that word once again. Because you know the one who empowers you. And that love is power. It's what gets us up in the morning. It's what moves us on. Because we have purpose in life. Without love, we have no purpose. That's why people look for love in so many different places and in so many different ways. And they're so disappointed. Because only the love of God fulfills. Because it totally fills us. Because the fullness of God is in that love. And the universe can't hold him. But he chooses to be held in you. The day is going to come when we're going to know a love that goes far beyond anything we could ever hope or dream. Because in that day, when we see him in that first moment in glory, all the things of this world, everything of a lifetime that has plagued you, is going to drop off like the scales out of Saul's eyes, who became Paul. And in a moment, you're going to be able to see. And what we see is going to put us to our knees. And I have no idea how long we're going to stay there. It may just be for eternity. Because the love of God will overflow us, overtake us, and it will be more than we could ever possibly conceive. But we can conceive a part of that right now. Why? Because Jesus Christ was poured out for each and every one. Is that not what I read? Is that not what we read? And when we receive that love, the power of that love, it takes away all of the stuff of this life. If we'll stop listening to the evil one who keeps wanting to bring it up and cast it into your face. Jesus said, I nailed it to the cross. Would you let it there? Because when we do, we can move forward and it does not hold us. How many of us realize that's the trap that Satan wants us to walk in? God doesn't really love you. Yes, he does. We just spoke it. God is love. God sent his son to die for you. And we live in that power right now. So how much does God's love actually cancel out in our world? Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans. To the book of Romans. Now I'm going to put a bookmark here because I want to come back here for just a second. I'm going to take you to the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 8. You all know where I'm going. You know, I think it's funny because when I was putting this together, I realized I was going to make that comment. I figured everybody would say, oh, we're going to 1 Corinthians. Nope, we're not going to 1 Corinthians. Everybody knows the love chapter, right? Everybody knows the love chapter. But I want us to look at the book of Romans. And yet we know this. The book of Romans in the 8th chapter. The book of Romans in the 8th chapter. Now, I want you there. I'm going to go back to 1 John that we already read. I'm going to read a scripture, and then I'm coming back with you into John, okay? Here we go from John. Pardon me. Ooh. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. So, from Romans, in the 8th chapter, in the 35th verse, we read these words. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen out of somebody? We need to understand the love of God is so perfect that nothing this world throws at us can take that love away. And we have got to hold on to that and remember that. Don't let the lies of Satan come at you because something of this world has come at you. We are no longer of this world. We are in this world. What does that mean? The things that happen in this world are still going to happen to this body because it is property thereof. However, the spirit in me is no longer property of this world, for the title has been transferred to the living blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I get an amen? When we realize that, there is nothing this world can throw at us that can take the love of God away from us. And we can laugh in the face of cancer. We can laugh in the face of heartache. We can laugh in the face of any trial that comes. And yes, I mean laugh. Why? Because it's meant to pull us away. But we are standing on the rock of our foundation, the Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, when we come to the fullness of understanding this scripture, and I pray that we do, but how many of you are working it out right now? Yeah, we all are. And that means we're going to go through some trials and tests, doesn't it? Because God wants to refine our love for Him. I'm going to tell, we just congratulated a couple here that got engaged on Mother's Day. He cheaped out because he knows he'll never forget that day. So we look at, yeah, I just said that, Billy. We want them to know that the love of God is here for you guys. You're going to go through some stuff, and you're going to be tried, and you're going to be tested. But I'm telling you right now, from my perspective, I got 38 years where I can look back and say to myself, that lady should have left me a long time ago, but she didn't. Why? Because there's a love greater than anything I can add to it. Because you're going to screw up, Bill, and you're going to screw up, Dee Dee, but you need to hold on to the one who loves you both more than you love each other, because in that you'll get through whatever the evil one throws your way. Can I get an amen, church? Man, am I preaching the word today or what? I'm going to tell you, we all know life is going to throw stuff at us. We're going to think, I got this thing made. And the next thing you know, the seal pops out of the ball joint. And now you got a lot more work to do. We're going to be doing our stuff, getting ready for a wedding, and two people are going to be missing because of medical stuff. How are we going to get through this? Folks, I'm going to tell you all right now, it's the one thing I've told the church for years, and y'all better get it. If you are in this game, and it's not a game, it's really life, you better learn how to punt. Because God says, consider your plans, make your plans, but always leave room for God. Because He is going to test us. He is going to try us. Why? Because He wants us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Because He is purifying, He is refining our faith to the point that we believe so strongly that we cannot be shaken. We need to remember there is a shaking coming. And in that shaking, in that great and faithful day, when the Lord Himself is revealed, I wonder how many people are going to be ready for that day. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe this and I hold to this with all my heart. We, the church, aren't going to see that day because He's going to take us up out of here before that happens. But until the rapture, there is going to be a shaking that's going on. How many of you are feeling the rumblings even now? How many of you are seeing the things that are happening in our world and we're wondering, when is it going to stop? And pastor's here to tell you it's not until the Christ comes. Can I get an amen? And then it's over. And that is where we experience the fullness of God's love, because He loves us so much He will not allow this to continue forever. But we must continue according to the book of Revelation. How far are we supposed to continue? To the end. Not halfway, not three quarters of the way, not seven-eighths, not 99. We're not even doing the what's that ivory soap thing, 99.999%, right? No, all the way to the end. That means the day the Lord receives you to Himself. And in that, we know that may mean physical death or rapture. We continue to that last moment, our last breath on this side of eternity. And in that, nothing, no created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we come to that place, and I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you get to that place and then all of a sudden life starts to pull you away from that? And then all kinds of things start coming at you and you start feeling bad, you start doubting. You know, we don't have any doubting Christians. We don't have any nobody's name is Thomas in here, right? There are times we're all Thomas, aren't we? Because God is going to allow those things to come. It's not that He brings them, it's that He allows them for our growth. You see, one of the things that I have learned as a parent, and love is a wonderful thing, because how many of us in love want to protect our kids from everything bad that could ever happen? You know, we just want them to do what I say, not what I did, right? Isn't that what, because we all did it, so that's why we know to tell them not to. Oh, you mean I left out a secret? You didn't want your kids to know that you did those things that you're telling them not to do? Do you think they don't know? But one of the things we need to remember is there are times when we just simply have to stand back and say, I got to let them fail. Why? Because they'll learn something. You see, that's part of God's love also. God wants us to learn. He doesn't want us repeating stupid things. Can I get an amen out of that one? Because that means you're applying it to you, right? And how many times has God allowed us to apply that? I think of my son. You know, God blessed us with one. We have five that are with him, but he blessed us with one. And I just had this conversation with another father just this past weekend. And I told the guy, I said, hey, sometimes you got to let them fall down. Yeah, but I don't want to, you know, they can get hurt. I said, you choose wisely where you let them fall. If it's up to you to choose at all. When they get older, they start choosing those things, don't they, folks? But when they're young, we want them to understand that they're going to fail, but that God's always there. He doesn't let you there, does he? There were many times where I left Russell do something, and I knew it was stupid, but I knew it wasn't going to hurt him physically. But I was hoping it would affect him mentally and relationally with Jesus Christ. And oftentimes it did. Now, it may have taken a little bit of time for that to happen, but how many of us are in that boat? You may have to fall that particular trial, that particular thing. You may have to go down 2, 3, 4 times until you finally wake up and say, why am I doing that? How many of us have done that kind of stuff for a lifetime? And we still look back and say, well, I don't understand. Yeah, well, that's because you're trying to get different results out of something that you keep doing the same all the time. That's insanity. You want different results? Try something else. Well, I don't understand. Every time my doorbell rings and I go open it, somebody's at the door. Don't open the door no more. There ain't nobody there if you don't open it. Now you all understand why I don't answer when you call. I may not want to hear from you today. Did he just say that? Yes, he did. Because I may be in the midst of something that I can't leave. It's not saying I don't love you and I won't be there for you. But it's saying your stuff is your stuff. You need to hang on to it for a little while. It took you a little bit of time to get here. And it's going to take a little bit of time to get past it. Amen, church. An emergency on your part does not an emergency on mine create. I was taught that by my daddy, and I like that. There are so many times in life, you know, we're reaching out to God. Where are you, God? And he says, I've been here the whole time. Where in the world have you been for the last 5 years? Can anybody relate to that? Don't raise your hand. It's understanding that these things that are coming at us, these powers, these principalities, this darkness, this height, this depth, all these things, all these created things that are going to come at us, we need to understand the power of love has conquered them all. But the reality is, are we going to turn to that love? Are we going to look to the love of God? And are we going to stand in that love and cast those things off? Because that's the hard part, kids. I'm looking right at my young people right here. That is the hard part, isn't it, adults? Yeah, I know they're adults, but they ain't where we are yet, amen? They got a lot of learning to do. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 60. I'm twice your age, a little bit more for some of you. I ain't there yet. Can anybody else say that? I still got room to grow. I still got room to go. But how do we achieve it? Okay, Pastor, I see God is love. He's here for me always. He's given his son. I see God has perfected love. I don't have to fear any of this stuff anymore. I don't have to fear the unknown. I don't have to fear the things I even know and have dealt with, you know, those questions, those hard things. But Lord, you know, Pastor, help me live it. How do I live it out? Where do I find that power? Where do I find that? Where do I find that thing? Well, it's a who. And he's here with us all the time. What do you mean, Pastor? Turn in your Bibles to our last scripture today, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We're going to be in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, beginning in the 13th verse. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. Just three verses. And it's so amazing. God puts this stuff in there and in this book. You know, it's pregu, right? Or ragu, or whichever one it was. It's in there. It's in there. From verse 13. It says, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from me." Now, I chose this piece of scripture because I wanted us to understand, when the apostle was writing this, they didn't call the letters of the apostle scripture because they didn't realize they were writing the scriptures. They had no idea. They were simply living out their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was inspiring them to write those letters that the church would have them for perpetuity. And we do, and it's called the New Testament. It is the final revelation unto us all. So it is understanding that as we live in love, that means living out the Bible. That means living out the Word of God, the gospel of God, from the beginning, from the first book in Genesis to the last book in the book of Revelation. We are to be a living Bible before the entire world. That means everything that God has taught us, everything that He wants us to know, we have to make it a part of who and what we are, because it is who He is. He is the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is contained in these words because these words came from the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand, did the Holy Spirit teach things of Himself? No. Who did the Holy Spirit teach of? The Father through the Son. Do you see? We have the Trinity wrapped up in black and white for us to know, because we have to pass it on. Those folks passed it on through oral tradition or letter. We now have it in this book that we call the Bible. And in this book is everything that we need to know for living a good, godly life in the full power of God's love. You know, I'm told many times as a pastor, "Well, I don't like all of God's rules." Well, you're probably the kind of person that the only time you do the speed limit is when you see the police officer on the horizon, so you slow down not to get in trouble. I want you to think about what I just said. You're willing to put yourself in jeopardy and others until you see that enforcement, and then it matters to your life. What for? As a problem. No, the problem is you're doing something stupid. Why do you think the traffic laws are the way they are? They are there to protect us, amen? If we operate within them, and everybody operates within them, our roads are fairly safe. But when you have a couple people doing far more speed than they should be, drinking when they shouldn't, taking medications that they shouldn't, etc., 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 all of a sudden you have the mess that we know is our highway systems today. And it's the same way in life. God gives us the Word to keep us safe. Everything inside of that is available to us, and it's good. You know, it's amazing how many of us read the book of Genesis, and on the first day God created and He said it was. And on the second day God created and He looked upon it and He said it was. And on the sixth day He created. And God said it was? No, he said that on the seventh. After he had rested. It was very good. When we understand the very good, remember, it was the fullness. When everything had come to its fullness, then God said it was very good. So for us, we've got to get the fullness, and the love of God is very, very good. Today, will you hold to that truth? Today, will you walk in the power of the resurrection and maintain the full love of God? It's going to take work, isn't it? But it's a work that will get us not just a lifetime, but an eternity in glory that can never be taken, never be stolen, never be despised, but a glory that can be lived now. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for the love that you have given us, for the power that is in that love to regenerate us, to strengthen us, and to help us in every step of the way, no matter what the world throws at us. So Lord God, we call upon the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ, who is love personified, for he took upon himself the payment of our sins. He died on the cross of Calvary and yet was raised up to life again on the third day. And now, Lord Jesus, you sit at the right hand of the Father and you have sent unto us, as we will learn next week, the Holy Spirit. And we live in the power of the resurrection now, but we have to call upon it. We have to call upon him and work with him unto the completion of our faith. May it be so now, and may it be so forever, in Jesus' name. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page. Or, if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.